Have we done a sound check yet? Oh, we're doing a sound right as we speak.
Yeah. Say something witty and comical.
Witty and comical.
I was going to do... Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're failing so far.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Well, we can talk... Yeah, because we're going to save the big wiener story for later.
That's correct.
Hello, fans. Welcome to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure, or as I like to call us, the Slow and the Furious. I'm Dave Furious.
Right.
And you're the Slow Brothers.
Oh.
Fred and Jason.
They used to call me Lightning.
Oh. Well, no, that won't work.
It was sarcastic.
Oh, I see.
That was my grade 6 teacher.
Mr. Lightning?
No. He called me
What
that.
A cool name.
Yeah, that is a cool name.
He saw me reading the book on Edison, the man who tamed lightning.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Hey, Lightning," or something like that.
Huh.
Because I was known for being, you know, tardy and, you know.
Yeah. Hence your name.
Lazy.
Fred Slow, as I call you. And you were slow tonight getting here.
Slow
for the podcast.
Lightning. Yeah.
And which caused me to be furious.
Yeah. Thomas Edison, he electrocuted an elephant, right?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why?
To prove what?
I think he was proving a point.
Wow.
I forget if he was trying to demonstrate, because he was, I forget now. Somebody was alternating current.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was direct current.
He was AC and Tesla was DC.
Right. And he was trying to show how dangerous one of them was, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe he was just trying to show how powerful electricity could be if you harnessed it.
No, I think he was trying to prove how safe AC was.
Mm.
It's, yeah. Don't stick your finger into either socket. That's my rule.
It seems to be, and I'm not a knowledgeable person.
No.
By any point.
No, exactly.
They didn't call me Lightning at all.
No.
But I think if you make a connection electrically through you, that's a mistake.
Yeah, no, of any sort. You know, I remember when we were kids, you guys probably did the same
Unless
thing.
You're in the electric chair.
Well, yeah, no.
You got it coming.
It's still a mistake.
Yeah.
Wow. Somewhere along the road.
Not in Edison's time.
No.
No.
I mean, electrocuted an elephant for crying out loud.
If you were the guy or the elephant,
yeah.
Somewhere along the line, you made a mistake.
I think there is graphic footage of it on the internet.
No. That's horrible.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting you go search it out.
Well, why'd you bring it up?
Well, because you were talking about Thomas Edison, and there's this great episode of Bob's Burgers.
You'll never be able to sleep now.
Where they do a great... Because the elephant is named Topsy.
Yeah.
Which is even worse. If you're going to electrocute something...
Don't give it a name.
Don't give it a name.
Give it... Like, Renegade.
Yeah, remember when that dentist shot that lion a few years ago?
Yeah.
And everybody got upset.
Mm-hmm.
Well, part of the problem, I think, was because the lion had a name.
Yeah, Clarence, wasn't it?
Well, it might have been Clarence.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Clarence the Cross-Eyed Cougar?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Anyway, there's a great song in Bob's Burgers where it says, they say that Thomas Edison is the man to get us into this century. And that man is me. And then Topsy sings, they'll say, autopsy at my autopsy, and no one will be more shocked than me. It's a great song. Anyway.
You going to play a little clip of it in the show later?
I could, but...
copyright problems?
Well, I think...
You just sang it. I guess we don't really need
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I mean, they do a much better job because it's Kevin Klein and Megan Mullally. How do you say it?
Well, that's how I say it.
Yeah, sure.
Unless you try to say Mulvaney.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Anyways, getting back to... If you thought this was Electrocuting Elephants podcast, you'd be mistaken. But we're actually about drinking.
We are.
I don't even know how Thomas Edison...
You started to do a thing, and you kind of did it unannounced, but I like it, and I'm going to encourage you to continue doing it.
The Slow and the Furious.
Yeah, see, it comes up with a sort of a funny alternate title to what we are.
Yeah.
That's me. I've got a lot of titles going out of control. From the universe, they all get pulled in. I'm like a magnet. I'm like, I think Tesla invented me.
Wow.
Yeah. Forget it. I don't like Edison. You know why I don't like Edison? Yeah. He was a big credit hog.
Sure.
He was.
Yeah. He said, I came up with that. I don't think so.
No. Publicity hound. That's all.
Drove poor Tesla to his poverty.
Yes. And if you needed any more proof that Tesla invented Dave Coyne, Dave Coyne is the DC.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes. Direct current.
Direct current.
Bizzabo.
But, anyways, we'll have to have a toast for Topsy, I guess, when we make our
cocktail. We should have a toast for Topsy.
What are we making on the show?
We got a couple of things. It's actually
That's
funny.
Good.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I know, right? You. A couple Perched. Of weeks ago, we were talking about sparkling wine, champagne.
That's right. And how much you and I love it.
And Dave was saying that he hates it.
Yeah.
I don't remember him saying that.
Maybe I hate it. Maybe I over exaggerated, but I don't care for it. I think it's.
Are you sure?
It's too dry.
Right.
It leaves an aftertaste on your tongue, right. And I just don't like it.
Are you sure it was champagne you were drinking and not some sort of Vicks vapor rub or something?
Yeah, no, I don't usually drink Vicks vapor rub.
That's what I said. Well, you're trying too good a champagne because there's some very dry.
Oh, that's
quote unquote good champagne.
Yeah.
But for $6.49, you can get Andre's Baby Canadian champagne.
Oh.
And so before we even get into drinks tonight.
It's sort of like having Gerber baby food.
There was a time when I would take this to a party in high school.
Uh-huh.
And I'd walk around with it.
Yeah.
Mr. Class.
You wouldn't even open it. You just showed it to everybody. Look what I got. I'm Mr. Class, Mr. Sparkling Champagne. Oh. Everybody's, look at
there
that.
We go.
We should have got that on camera. Damn.
That's okay. We got another one to go because one of our drinks actually involves sparkling.
Oh, it is on camera.
It's on camera.
Yeah, actually, I meant my camera.
But let's just have a little mini toast here.
To Topsy.
To Topsy. And to see if the cheaper we go, the happier Dave is with the sparkling wine.
Well, he's also the...
You say I'm easy to buy off. I'm cheap. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I've implied. I don't know if I said
he's
it.
He's the CFO, the chief, the financial officer.
This has even been chilled. There you go, Topsy. Andre's Baby Canadian Champagne for our 60th episode.
60th
episode.
Cheers.
Right.
Hey.
Here's to you, Topsy.
Here's to you, Topsy.
You know, I admit it's not as dry, but it's almost only slightly above like club soda.
Maybe I should have got the Asti Spumante.
Yeah,
well. You know, it's got more flavor, but
Asti Spumante is like $12.
It's like you took a little bit of apple juice and added it into club soda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah,
it's great.
but you drink it.
It has got a bit of an apple-y flavor to it, doesn't it?
It really does, actually. I don't remember the Andre's Baby Canadian Sparkling having quite that same...
that apple juice sort of a...
Remember they used to actually call it Baby Canadian Champagne, and obviously the French came down and said, you can't call it champagne. It's Baby Canadian Sparkling.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
7% alcohol.
Seven?
Seven.
Oh, it is for babies, then.
Oh, yeah. No. It's like ginger ale.
Yeah.
If you had, like, an upset tummy.
Mm-hmm. This is the stuff to use. Yeah.
And so, that was my big surprise here for Dave, just to see if...
Yeah.
But now I'm wishing that I did get the Asti Spumante. The reason I got this was it was a 4.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be a little bit sweeter and would appeal to old sweet tooth DC over here.
Yeah.
Old Tesla's creation.
But it's going to be part of a cocktail, is it not?
No, it is not. This was entirely to try to woo you.
His gift to you.
Oh. Well, thank you.
You have some babies coming over. A little bit of something there to...
Something there to put in their bottles.
Yep. I mean, on the downside, you can't really save it. Because it's a fizzy thing.
But you can put a plastic cork back in. You can sort of redo the wire.
Well, I don't know. Can you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, yeah, put your thumbs into it. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to have to give that to Jennifer tonight and let her polish it off.
Well, I'll take home the Seiko that I brought for the thing.
Yeah.
Does Jessica, your wife, like the baby Canadian champagne?
Honey, do you like the Canadian baby champagne?
I actually do.
Oh, she does.
Well, guess what? Tonight's your birthday.
Yep. There you go.
So you guys can hang on that.
Thank you very much.
And next time we say, Oh, Dave likes sparkling wine.
Oh, I love it.
That's right. Or you could say, yeah, there's some that I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, which would have got you completely off scot-free had you said that.
Yeah, we would have had something way different.
The latest Taste magazine from... That's not even running anymore. I'm not going to play on the camera.
No, I'll let you know.
The latest Taste magazine came out from the BC Liquor Stores.
Oh, yeah.
This is a wonderful publication.
Yeah, as we always say.
Can you read it online?
You can read it online.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a computer.
Oh.
Or a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Or a smartphone.
Generally largely available to almost everybody.
It's a high bar, though.
Just one of them.
Yes. Or you can go and actually get a paper copy of it.
If you're in the province of British Columbia.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll mail it out.
Probably not.
But they should.
I mean, I'd mail a copy out if somebody wanted one.
Oh,
sure. It was on the taxpayer's dime? Why not?
I thought the gentleman of Elegant Leisure would pay for that.
We would provide it. Yeah. I see. Well, all right. Well, write
for
to
our
us.
For our fans, yep.
To Fairfax 9. We should have a mailing address.
Mm.
We should get a post office box.
We'll just give him Dave's address. We'll put that at the end of the episode.
And in all of the video.
Yeah.
So what did you discover in the Taste magazine?
Well, nothing much.
Oh, why'd you bring it up then?
Well, I found that they had a couple of cocktails in there.
Oh.
And one of them involved having some sparkling wine in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the impetus that I thought, oh, Dave said that he doesn't like sparkling wine.
We'll find one that he likes.
Yeah.
If we mix enough stuff into it.
His wife had come out and purposely said, I think it was even caught on camera, saying, you like sparkling wine. And you said it was mixed in something.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
We mix.
We mix. We mix and mingle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should call ourselves... Mix Masters.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. You like that?
Yeah.
I'm going to patent that or copyright it.
Mixmasters.com.
Yeah.
Well, maybe connect to us.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Oh. You're so quick to throw away Drunk Podcast CA, aren't you?
Yeah, you haven't really maximized
your investment.
No, I guess I should put more content on that.
Yeah.
You have not monetized
podcast.ca. No, because it comes right to our website. It
immediately goes
which,
here.
Which where we've largely monetized it.
Oh, sure.
The opposite of monetization.
Demonetization?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm experiencing that right now.
Right. But if we got a post office box,
mm-hmm.
then people could send money.
Was that what people do?
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
Oh.
But it's okay if you do it to us. Send money. Because remember, they're going to be sending me $1 million.
Yeah.
How's that? Yeah. How are they going to get that to
you? Yeah, we're going to have to get a post office box. And you guys are going to have to know that if it's just addressed to me, you can't mm-hmm. open it up. Because that's part of my $1 million that people are sending me. Anyway, in the latest issue, there was a drink called Nightshade.
Mm.
And so I thought, well, why don't we do the Nightshade? And I knew that on the back of the Aperol bottle...
Now, I did some research on the Nightshade. It was called the Deadly Nightshade Cocktail.
Ooh.
This is not Deadly Nightshade?
It's funny that you should say that.
Is it?
No.
I don't really think it's funny. I was actually being quite serious about it, because it's a deadly plant.
Right. I am trying to kill you both.
Oh, okay.
Well, then that makes it funny.
You're not going to share that $1 million with anybody. Forget
no,
it.
It's done. See,
Yes?
I tried to find the magazine online, which mm-hmm. I could find online, but I couldn't... They used to do it in a PDF form.
Right.
Because I wanted to copy it
mm-hmm.
so that I could print the recipe out.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Which I'm pointing at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right there.
which is not from the thing. And in doing so... I just said, I'm just going to Google the Nightshade cocktail. Well, there's a whole bunch of Nightshade cocktails.
Really?
And this is not one of them.
Mm. Now I'm getting confused.
So the research I did was really a waste of time.
Well, I guess it is. Yes.
Because I think the Deadly Nightshade cocktail, does it have bourbon in it?
It might.
Yeah, I think it was a bourbon-based drink.
Yeah, and some of them might have gin. I think I saw gin mentioned in a Nightshade.
What does your specific recipe have in it?
Rum.
Rum, okay. Well, that's
not bad.
It was created by a guy named...
Mr. Nightshade?
I'm going to guess his name is Sean.
Why? I just randomly thought
the
name.
Guess Sean specifically?
Because I have his name.
Yes.
And it's spelled S-H-I-O-N, like Shion.
Oh.
Which it could be Cheyenne.
Maybe it is.
But I'm wondering if he calls himself Sean.
I think it's Sean. He might be Welsh.
He's actually, his last name is Fujita.
Yeah, he's Welsh. That's,
yeah, that sounds Welsh.
Right. Some taffy bar manager at Chin Chin. So he might be Cheyenne Fujita,
mm-hmm.
or Sean Fujita, or he might be Sean Fujita.
Yeah.
We don't know. I did not ask him to be on the show tonight.
Well, if you're listening, Cheyenne or Sean, leave us a comment.
That's right. Because we're doing one of your drinks tonight.
Yay!
The Nightshade, as served at Chin Chin. Mm-hmm. I believe it's how you say it.
I think it is. Chin Chin. Yeah. Big fancy schmancy role. Your celebrities hang out for din-dins.
That's right. Well, din-din at Chin Chin.
Yeah.
I think they did in the 90s. I'm not sure if they're still going.
I think they are because Sean, as we're going to call him, was working the bar one night when he first started.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris Pine.
Okay.
He's only been famous for a little while.
Yeah, he's freshly famous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was part of his Star Trek fame. It was probably when he was in town doing the...
Star Trek.
They shot Star Trek here.
Mm.
He came in and he asked for a gin martini straight up with an olive. And Sean said, no problem, and went and got somebody because he didn't know how to make a martini.
Really?
Yeah.
A bartender doesn't know how to make a martini?
It's not a very good story in the magazine. That's all it says. It doesn't say why he was behind there and didn't know how to make a martini.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the bar manager there and he's creating drinks. And at some point, it said that he was hired at Chin Chin as a busser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one night after work, he was talking with a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender was waxing poetical about the whole aspects of mixing drinks and how cool that is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of taken with it. And then he got the old double cross pulled on him where the bartender said, well, if you'd like to come in here and chop up a bunch of limes and do a bunch of prep work for me, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
And not realizing that was really schlep awful stuff and nobody likes doing that. And so he would do that. And then he showed interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe that led to the Chris Pine martini fiasco,
right,
as it's now called. And then he was, he said, no, I want to be serious about this. He was trained by David Wolowitznik.
What?
Yeah.
We made his drinks before.
Why can't we do that?
I don't know. I think we're doing this completely wrong.
Oh, that's why then.
Yeah.
Where is Wolowitznik?
Wolowitznik is now down at Resurrection Spirits now, I think. He's no longer a botanist. I think he's at the distillery.
Hard to keep track of that guy.
It is.
All right. So Resurrection Spirits. All right. Well, you should head down there.
Did Chris Pine get his delicious...
I think he did get a martini from somebody else.
Somebody else.
And meanwhile, Sean went on to the Wolowitznik business for a year, and then he went and got his final training with some sort of diploma-ized thing, and then went back to Chin Chin, and as I say, he's now the bar manager there, creating seasonal favorites for the Chris Pines of the world.
Excellent.
And maybe you and you, if you decide to go down there.
Yeah. Yeah, not you.
Not me.
Not me.
All right.
Okay. I don't got Chin Chin money.
Oh, well, maybe we can write it off as a company expense.
Maybe.
We'll talk to the CFO over here.
Now, have you eaten at Chin Chin?
I have.
Wow.
A couple of times.
And have you eaten at Chin Chin?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Oh, my God.
Not in the last 10 years, though, probably.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been to Chin Chin.
Hmm.
Okay,
well,
works. Because it used to be attached to something, didn't it? Wasn't there a lesser thing was attached, or they shared a kitchen or something?
No, yeah, making so. Stuff up.
Oh, what was that place? It was something like, well, maybe I went to Chin Chin once.
Chin Chin's upstairs.
Yeah.
On
Robson,
yeah. And it's been there since the late 80s, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's already gone through the incarnation of being not cool, and then going back to being cool again.
Yeah. But really, really nice Italian fare. Yeah.
Does it share a stairway and they split at the top? Is that what I'm thinking?
Maybe, yeah. There's a stairway. I don't remember it splitting, but maybe it does because I've only gone to Chin Chin.
Right.
At the bottom is another, underneath is another restaurant.
Right.
But it's just a little narrow doorway.
Yeah. We went there one night, the whole gang of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know if it was it or if it was by it.
Was that after the wedding? Because we were across the street from
That was the one that used to be the Penny Lane Bistro.
Went upstairs.
That was upstairs.
Where,
no, this was... this was... Eric Idle was playing the next night or that night in town. Because that was what the conversation was how you had been robbed by your friends in the 70s.
Stupid friends.
They'd all gone to see Monty Python without you, even though you were like the one that introduced them all to it or something.
Or... simultaneously. Yeah, I was like, where'd you guys go? I went to see my team.
Right.
I hate you guys.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Awful. And then we had all gone to see Eric Idle.
Yes.
The year before, again, not knowing that you were even remotely interested.
I'm starting to care less and less about
that. And we had an extra ticket that we got my dad to take because they're like, who else is going to want to go see Eric Idle?
Your dad loves Eric Idle.
That's right. And he had a great time.
Yeah.
And then years later, I made it up to you because we went to London and saw
Kicking and screaming. If I'd been like that the other two times, I'd.
That's probably why they didn't invite you.
I think that's why. They said, we're going to. I don't want to go. No, you love Monty Python. No, I know, but I don't want to go anyway.
But I think that was happening, and I think the Leos were happening that night. There was something that was going on because we were going to leave that restaurant, if it was Chin Chin, and go meet somebody else somewhere else. Oh, anyway, this story has gone far too long.
Another tangent that we're well known for.
In fact, if we were smart, we'd have Dave go, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Village Leisure, and we start now.
Is it episode 60 already?
I think we're already in the 61. Yeah. Anyway, Chin Chin, you guys should go down there. Mike used to talk about Chin Chin because Mike was cheap, notoriously cheap. Mm-hmm. He took somebody there on a date.
Who was Mike?
Mike Roberts, our past dearly departed dead friend.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, he's still cheap.
Maybe that was his story that I remembered.
Maybe, because he went and he had like a $20 hot dog.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he ordered the Italian sausage, thinking you're going to get little chorizos or something like that.
Right.
And that's right, but I think I had the same thing, because it really rings a bell with me. But yeah, you got a side of spaghetti and this huge, huge sausage. And that was it. It was like spaghetti and sausage on the side. It's like, and it was expensive, because it's an Italian sausage.
It was this close to having a wiener chopped up in macaroni and cheese.
That's right.
So Mike was not a fan of Chin Chin.
No, I can't. It's not his bag.
It's not his bag, man. So do we want to do the Aperol Spritz first, or do we want to try the brand new drink, as far as we're concerned, the Nightshade?
Well, let's do the Spritz, because it's nice and simple.
Okay.
It's a classic. It's a staple in Italy.
Yeah.
It is. When I went to Italy, that's all I drank.
Yeah. You didn't ask for any martinis?
Did you wake up in the morning and you could only speak Italian?
I woke up in the morning with a note attached to me that said, thanks for your kidney.
Oh. Speaking of Monty Python, they came and got your kidney.
Hey, is this cake for everybody?
That cake is for, that's for my, oh, she didn't make it, but she, you know, she gets a lot of free stuff. She could make it if she wanted to.
So for this drink, we're going to use actual, authentic Italian Prosecco.
Oh.
So this is our second. This is like New Year's Eve all over again.
It is. Happy New Year!
So let's hope that this one doesn't just explode everywhere. We should probably try this one straight, too, and see how this one compares for Dave. Dave's going to be missed your sparkling wine.
I like the way you think.
Oh, that's a real popper.
Oh, yeah. And this is the one that you can't get back yet. Wow. This is the crazy cork that's...
Hold it up. Hold the bottle up, would you, Jason?
Hold the bottle up.
Yeah, just so we can get a nice picture.
La Marca Prosecco.
Prosecco.
And it said that the flavor of this was nice, and apple-y and honey and
all the other one was pretty apple-y, too. Right. Well, you should hold up the other camera.
Is it on?
I believe so. Can you see through it?
I can't see through it.
No, that must be on.
That's it. Well, let me finish off Andre's big Canadian champagne. And to be perfectly fair, we probably should have rinsed this, but we're not about fairness.
I gave mine to my wife, so I've got a new glass myself.
Yeah, we'll make sure we save some for later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Wouldn't that be funny? We couldn't do our cocktails All right.
I already can smell the dryness.
Yes, well, it's your royal dryness.
I'm going to be more thirsty after I've drank it then.
Happy 60th episode.
Happy 60th episode. Thomas Edison was a brutal bully.
Oh, horrible.
Huh? Yeah, that's what I come to know. Sparkling.
Right. So of the two of them, if I said, hey, I got some baby Canadian, you'd say...
I'd probably go for the baby Canadian.
There we go. I know.
There you go.
I'm taking it as a win.
Yeah.
And we've recorded it.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we used to have arguments with people and you couldn't prove anything. But now that we record everything that we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully it will be nice in the beverages that we're going to do.
Yeah. So if we're going to do the Aperol Spritz, how many ingredients in the Aperol Spritz?
Three.
That's
That's not a lot.
It isn't a lot.
Ice? You put ice in it?
I'm going to look, because this is going to be one of those label recipes.
It's a label. We've had such good success with that in finding them.
Oh, you know what? It calls for a slice of orange, and I forgot to get it orange. Yeah. Imagine that there's a slice of orange on it.
Oh. Do you have a slice of orange?
I've got an orange.
Is there a slice? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure. All
right. Give me a minute. You guys entertain yourselves.
So it's three parts of Prosecco, two parts of Aperol, and a splash of soda, which I thought was kind of funny that you would add some sort of sparkling soda to a sparkling wine beverage.
I think it's because the soda is, I think it's to balance the pH.
Really?
Well, because soda has got a bit of, it's got a high pH, and the anything with citrus has got a low pH, and so maybe that's there to sort of balance the flavors off. It's the only thing that makes any sense, because you're not making it any more bubbly.
No, although you might be, because it could be that the Prosecco is like smaller bubbles and the soda's bigger bubbles. Either way, this is just giving me a Mr. Gassy man. Got enough gas to go to Pittsburgh.
So, Pittsburgh.
So we're not, you know, we don't have to shake this. It's not, is it even, what does it say? So, oh my gosh, it's too tiny here. Oh my God, ice cube slice of orange. So yeah, we're going to put ice cubes in these glasses right here.
Oh, crack open the ice cube shell.
Everybody gets a cube. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I had the Aperol Spritz in Siena. I had Aperol Spritz in Venice. I had Aperol Spritz in Rome. I had Aperol Spritz in Florence.
Oh, you're spritzing all over the place.
Oh, I was Spritz Lang.
Spritzing and schitzing.
If you see these, Fred, and you folks at home too, the little OXO jigger, something happened to mine all of a sudden. Like,
oh, it's all gone milky.
Yeah, well, the milky, but the actual measuring words.
Oh, the measuring words. The good thing they're only $1.65.
Yeah, I know, but I particularly like this one because it has a quarter ounce on it.
Yeah, I know, that is nice.
Oh,
I what's their names? Well-seasoned.
They might have the OXO?
Has the OXO now, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, let's give it a shot. So it says, so three parts, and so we're going to have drinks here. So we'll do an ounce and a half of Prosecco, and we'll go back from there. Well, our part is going to be a half ounce part. How does that grab you?
Sure.
Okay.
That all right?
That should be fine.
Yeah, excellent.
Okay. And yeah, we're going to end up running out of Prosecco. Wouldn't that be funny if we did?
Well, I guess we'll have to crack open that baby sparkling champagne,
wine,
or whatever, baby Canadian sparkling nonsense.
Andre's baby Canadian champagne.
Okay, I'm gonna take the oranges.
All right.
And you don't have the peel. You like the peel.
The peel.
For the oils.
Oh, well,
but that's okay. So I'm going to just slice them this way to get a little bit. Release the hounds. Release the juices.
I kept some of the rind.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We could do that.
All right.
Give a little twist of, get a little bit of orange oil in there. Maybe I should, I'm thinking, oh, it's, this is where, this is the dead air that we were talking about
earlier. Yeah, this is where we edit in these, the silence.
Yeah. So, should I cut it? Now I'm wondering. I think I cut it lengthwise. Maybe I should cut it the other way.
That's all right. As long as we have a little bit of orange in there. I think you need it for your nose.
Yeah, so here, I got some peel. So I'll, what I'll do,
and a splash of soda.
Yeah, get a splash of soda. I'm just going to cut some slices of peel.
And okay.
Drop them in there.
Oh, so almost like a twisty twist.
A twisty twist. Yeah, that's really what you want anyway.
Perfect. Splash.
We're all working here.
Splash and splash. And that, my friends, is the Italian aperitif known as the Aperol Spritz that you can get at any sidewalk cafe at any time of day, but it's great during the, that whatever that magical time that you, I forget what time.
Morning?
No, it's later in the day than morning. It's after lunch and before dinner. It's when they promenade. The sun comes down at that beautiful angle that only happens in Italy and some parts of the Okanagan.
So do we want actual orange pieces in there?
No, it's okay. I think this will do just fine and dandy.
Okay. All right.
This is for you, Fretters.
Thank you very much.
The Aperol Spritz. And this is to see if Dave approves of drinks that have mix in them of sparkling wine type ingredients.
That's it.
How did the shot fall?
Jeez.
And I find it very, very refreshing because Aperol is like the user-friendly Campari, right? If Campari is too too bananas for you.
And Aperol is actually, even though it's got some bitter notes, it's actually fairly sweet.
Yeah. I think it's got a sweet up front and bitter at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Much like our friendships.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Much like the past 30 years.
Mm-hmm. It is refreshing,
yes.
I have to say.
Oh, I'm glad that you...
The Aperol has a little more complexity than I... Or at least than I would have thought.
Right.
I've learned, lo these many months...
Aperol is like the existentialist of the liqueurs. It's very complex.
Yes, it's. They don't say what's in it. You know, it has water, sugar, alcohol, aromatic herbs, flavor, sodium chloride, and color... And it contains the thing that I can never pronounce that keeps away the malaria.
Quinine?
Quinine.
Quinine.
No, that's... Dave,
quinine.
Was that why you were drinking Italy to keep away the mosquitoes?
Yeah, I was worried.
You might come down. It's a hot spot for malaria.
It's malarial Ecuadorian Italy I was in.
Terrible. Unforgiving heat.
Humidity.
Humidity, yeah.
Oh.
Look at Fred. He's going
so
in for a roast.
You actually get a bit of the quinine kind of a flavor in there, actually. This has got the tonic element of a gin and tonic.
Hmm. Yeah, it is reminiscent of a...
But I loved these when I was in Italy, and they quite often they would come in like a huge goblet sometimes.
Now, did you know about them before you went to Italy?
I did, because I'd read that Jason... Oh, I forget his last name. We've mentioned him. But Jason Smith? I think it's Jason Smith. I'd read his book, and he had talked about the bitters
and
how these were used for digestion purposes and great stories about stupid kids who say, oh my God, I'll drink all of that. And say, you don't want to drink that whole bottle of Aperol on its own. Because it's a very misleading color. Mm-hmm. It looks like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a big bottle of grenadine.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of Italian products that have great labels and fun colors and are bitter and will scare you if you are not prepared for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up with an attitude of not liking them when, in fact, you just were introduced to it non-correctly.
Exactly.
But I loved the Aperol Spritz. I really did. And
well,
I think
I'm starting to love it, too.
Really? Have you not had them before? Really?
No, I have not.
See, like, compare this to the Negroni, which is a little bit more bitter, I think,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a bit more complex and a bit more bitter.
Not unlike this Espliato.
Yeah, you're right, it is. It's similar to that kind of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Except I forget what was in that.
gin, Campari, and sparkling wine.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right then, of course, yes. I was thinking of the Paloma, in that it was tequila... A lot of sparkling grapefruit juice and a little bit of lime.
Yeah.
So again, it was light. It's a three ingredient, light, refreshing drink.
But I like it. I could see if you were traveling around. I mean, this is something that they just throw together, bing bang boom, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, you got to wait a minute. We got to go out and get some. No, or we got to shake it up. No, that you like pour. Here's your drink.
I think what's kind of neat about it too is. You know, if you were in Hawaii or something, and I'm speaking from experience, there was a place that had like a happy hour Mai Tai.
Yeah.
And they were all there on the back bar.
Right.
So when,
all pre-made. Here you go. Clunk.
Like, oh. Mm-hmm. But even if this was a happy hour, because it's so simple, sparkling wine and this and a splash of soda, you're still getting a fresh drink, but it can be cranked out.
Yeah.
It's a boom, 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 boom drink. And very low in alcohol, because the Aperol is only 11%.
Yeah, so you don't have any of the prime, liquors in this.
No.
No gin, although, an ounce of gin would do wonders for it.
And then the Prosecco that we put in there is also 11%.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to dehydrate you on a hot day, because it's not strong.
First.
Depends how many you have.
And so we've just had a little drink here.
Yeah.
we've basically had a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Did Jennifer have one when you were in Italy? Did she like them or did she not like them? She stuck to wine. The vino she loves.
I think she might have, yes. Her first love, the grape.
The grape.
The fermented grape.
Mm. That would be a tough call if you're in Italy. And, you know, do you have the wine because it's, you know.
It's Italy.
It's Italy.
Yeah.
Or do you have the Prosecco because it's, or the Aperol Spritz because it's Italy.
Yeah, I think I got her to have some of it, but I think she was mostly wine because the wine was so cheap too, right?
Right.
It's like, oh,
It's like beer in Germany. You know? It's like nickel.
You want Coke? It's $8.
$8. You want beer? That's $1. Yeah. One Deutschmark.
They're surprised if you didn't bring some yourself.
Yeah, I could see that'd be a perfect summertime barbecue kind of drink you'd serve.
Yeah, it's funny. I brought this Aperol for something else, and I forgot that I had it.
Oh.
And so that was the other reason that it popped into my mind, because I thought we could have that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Prosecco.
Yep, I have that. I have Aperol. I have Prosecco at home.
Now, I don't know if it would have tasted different had we used Andre's Baby Canadian Sparkling sugar water.
Pretty subtle, because the Aperol packs such a flavor punch.
Right.
So the Prosecco, the wine brings up sort of, it comes up in the rear. If you know what I mean.
I don't know.
All right. Well, then we'll move on to the nightshade here. I'm going to slice a very small plum.
Oh.
And this is kind of a first in that I've never ever sliced a plum before in my life.
Is that right? It seems odd that you would pick now to do that.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I don't think I've knowingly sliced a plum.
Yeah, because normally you just hold it neat, like an apple.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I ever cut a... Maybe I cut one in half when I was doing a...
Science experiment?
No, remember when I made the rum tops?
The what now?
Yeah, I say...
I don't think that's a... What?
I say, you remember when I made the rum tops?
I'm going to say I would have.
Yeah.
If you had.
But I did.
But no, clearly you didn't.
I didn't make it, or I didn't tell you that I made it.
Did you make it in front of me?
No, I didn't. I made it purposely behind you.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's tricky to cut, too, because it's got a big pit in it.
Yes.
Or a stone, is it? Because it's a stone fruit.
Right? Oh, it might be a stone fruit.
Yeah, it's a stone
rolling stone fruit.
Yeah, which always makes it a bit awkward.
It's just for garnish on the side of the glass.
Oh, there you go.
I don't even think you necessarily need it, but I figured Sean Fujita, the bar manager at Chin Chin, does it.
He knows what he's talking about.
That's right, he's been Walla Widnicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the rum top was that strange drink I made... Where you take the fruit as it comes in season, and you mix it with the sugar, and then you cover it with overproof rum, and it turns into a big sweet fruity liqueur that you have at Christmas time. Remember this? We talked about this, I'm sure.
I don't remember us talking about it on the show, but I do remember you making that, yeah.
I might have cut a plum then.
Oh,
this might be my second time cutting a plum.
All
This is where all that stems
from. So I don't
from.
Need to get a picture of it if it's only the second time you've cut a plum.
Oh, yeah. No, this is hardly picture-worthy.
Makes me want to take a picture.
You could do a painting, though. I think
that
would be a nice
moment. Does it take
so long? Yes, because it takes so long.
Take a picture. It takes longer. I don't know.
And look at that. I've cut it into perfect thirds. You'd think I've been cutting plums all my life.
No, you look like a professional plum cutter.
Oops. Well, look at that. If I was, I would have cut it better. I'm going to put it on the thing right now, which is a mistake because it's going to get in the way of pouring the drink in there.
I think it's falling off.
I guarantee.
Yeah. No, I think you're right there.
Yeah. This is.
But you're right. You're right.
This is the kind of sloppiness that Sean did before he had the proper training. He would have. Nobody garnishes their glass first. Anyway, I wanted to do that. So this has an ounce of Havana Club, 3-year-old Añejo rum.
Mm-hmm.
Now the reason that they call for that is because it's a BC liquor store publication.
Oh, of course.
And so you can actually probably make it with any old rum.
Any old.
But we're doing it with the Havana Club.
It's not even an amber. It's a white rum.
It's a white rum with a slight yellowy hue.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going?
It's aged, and so it's got a little bit of extra oomph.
Well, that describes you. bit aged, but look, I got some oomph still left.
All right.
I'd say he's got a bit of oomph.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's Mr. Oomph.
Yeah.
That's my grandfather.
Yes, that's true.
From Germany, right, Mr. Oomph? Yes.
Well, by way of, Russia.
Estonia?
And it's also got creme de cassis in it.
Oh.
And it's got chamomile syrup.
Wow.
What's chamomile syrup, you say?
I know. Okay.
Syrup of the chamomile plant?
And it's basically sugar syrup, and then you steep chamomile tea in it for about 10 minutes.
To help you sleep.
Basically. Oh, yeah. No,
this will help you sleep, especially the 3-year-old rum.
That ain't gonna hurt. So let's throw this guy together and see what it's like. The picture on the thing looked really nice.
So you shake this one.
You shake this one. You shake it and strain it. So we're going to double the proportions because we're going to share it out.
Strain it?
Strain it.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. So the ice doesn't clump up your your deal?
And there's the lemon.
And there's the lemon, which I should have juiced because I didn't.
Oh, you want a hand with the juicing?
Sure, please. They don't call me Jason, the guy who needs help with juicing for nothing.
That's your
Jason the Juicin' Dedrick.
What is that you're pouring? That's the black.
This is the black currant liqueur, creme de cassis.
Yeah, you gotta have that.
Yeah. Not only does it add a certain boozy element and a sweetie element and a black currant flavor, that's about all it does.
I guess that's it.
Quite frankly, if you're looking for any more out of that, we're gonna require an ounce of that lemon juice, please.
That might be.
If the lemons that we've had are anything like the other lemons that we've had. It should have an ounce of juice in it. How does that look? Bingo bango.
Bang on.
Thank you, sir.
That's it?
That's it.
My work is done?
Yeah. And look at this lovely little yellowy tinted chamomile syrup. I've stored it in an old moonshine jug.
Show us again, Jason, just so I can get a picture of the...
I'm afraid that the picture just makes it look like I'm holding a urine sample.
Well, I'll make sure that the description that it's not a...
We all have to give them, we have to make sure we're all in good health.
You know, sports heroes that we are, we have to...
You only need a quarter ounce of it, but I made a whole cup full, so...
Did you try it? Just to see what it tasted like?
I did.
Oh.
What does it taste like?
Like a chamomile...
And sugar?
Sugar.
Oh, good.
Like it's not been mislabeled at all.
Okay. You're right on the money.
Yes. So it says in a cocktail shaker, add the spirits, which I have, the syrup, and the lemon juice.
Which you have.
And then shake it vigorously. Now, I don't know.
That's not a good idea.
I'm always on the fence about vigorously shaking things.
You couldn't shake things any more vigorously than you do.
I prefer to shake them violently.
We call you slow hand.
I'm worried if you're going to throw your wrist out or something. I can get a picture, but you're blurry.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that. How your hands.
I can't even hold it anymore.
Jason becomes one with the shaker when he does his shaking.
I do. It's
very zen experience.
Like the actual paint shaker at the hardware store.
Yes.
You can't tell where it begins.
And the paint can starts.
And the paint can starts.
Okay. You're gonna get right past the old...
I am. Now, this isn't going to be great.
What?
Because
I don't... That's no way to sell it.
It's not going to be great in that it's we then top it up with the Prosecco, but I think we're going to only be able to half top it up because if we full in the full...
We've been drinking so much Prosecco?
Yeah, I think it's going to be... We'll call us Jose Prosecco.
That's purpley.
It is purpley, which makes sense, I think.
With the creme de cassis.
Creme de cassis. And...
Because I can see it from here.
But that looks kind of neat, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Looks very much.
You're going to ruin it with sparkling wine.
Very plum-like.
Yeah.
It matches the color of the plum perfectly.
Yeah. And yet no plums are in it.
No.
No plums have been injured in the creation of this drink. So I'm going to fill it up, I think, just to say, just below the gold rim here kind of a thing.
Oh,
I'm not going to go all the way up. I'm going to go to about...
I'm going to
sort of double the volume.
It's going to foam up anyway.
Hmm.
Oh, it might. You're right.
We'll see. Let's find out.
The first one will tell us. sort of there. I think it'll do a nice job. Ooh, look at this. This is like a nice brunch drink.
Oh, yeah.
You might
well, now I want...
Brunch? Eggs Benedict?
I want Eggs Benedict. Doesn't take much with me. Well, he just has to say it, and then I want
eggs
it.
Eggs Benedict. Oh, man. It's all it takes, and Fred is. Down the street. And how did I pre-pour that? Was I pretty good on that?
Yeah.
Did it work out pretty evenly?
Yeah, you got her.
This looks like a really, really nice drink. I'm quite eager to try this one. Nightshade.
Red Flash.
The section in this Taste magazine was all rum drinks.
Yeah.
But I think the other two or three required something that was even slightly odder than the chamomile syrup. So
chamomile syrup's pretty easy to do. If you already have the tea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's for you there, Dave.
That's perfect.
And I will have this.
The Topsy.
The Topsy.
The Topsy.
And that malignant creep.
That's Thomas Edison.
So the first on the nose, you get a bunch of cassie.
Mm-hmm.
And plum.
And plum because of the plum by your nose.
Plum is literally on my nose.
I just dropped the plum in. See if that makes it.
I think I will put the plum in there. Okay.
It's a little bit stronger than I thought it would be.
Of the cassie flavor, you mean?
I think, the whole drink. Mm. I think it's just, I thought it'd be a little lighter, and yet I still like it. It's not like an overpowering kind of strongness, but. What do you think, Freddie?
There's a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
There is a lot of flavor.
It's a very full. Maybe that's what I mean. I didn't expect to be quite as full. I expect more of a simple kind of flavor.
Yeah,
flavor.
You look from the Aperol Spritz, which is...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Aperol is multi-layered, but this has got stuff on top of stuff.
You get the lemon.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised by. I don't know why. I don't get the chamomile to say that I have chamomile, but I bet that I get it.
I don't even remember what chamomile tastes like, so I can't even tell.
You should try the syrup on its own, and then you'll taste it. The thing I always remember about chamomile tea was I think that's what Mrs. Rabbit gave Peter Rabbit when he had the big scare at Farmer McGregor's.
Yeah,
I think he was put to bed with chamomile tea.
And woke up dead.
Oh, yeah. No,
he killed him.
Turns out it's deadly poisonous for rabbits.
Maybe she gave a deadly nightshade cocktail. Deadly nightshade tea instead of the
Too Topsy.
But you could probably, we could have prosecco'd it a little bit more to lighten it up, but...
No, I think it's good like this.
I get the cassie.
Sort of jammy.
The rum is in there, but this isn't a big rum-flavored rum anyway, right?
No. I get more of the brown sugar from the rum. Sort of a brown sugary, something like that.
Okay.
That's the only part of the rum that's left for me is sort of that that thickness, that sort of the brown sugar kind of a thing. I just said. You think? No? Maybe?
I'm not doubting you.
Yeah, I am. I won't tell him. I'm not coming back for oats.
Because I don't think there's a brown sugar flavor in that Havana Club rum.
No, I know. It's not like it's a dark rum.
I'm going to have a taste of it straight.
Sure. No, have a slug.
We all should, but I'm only going to do it because I'm here. And I just want to confirm. The Añejo rum on its own is a little bit sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to say that it's industrial, but I don't think that's the right word. But there's an element to it where, like, if you have a really dark rum or a Guyanese rum or a Demerara rum, where you get a bunch of those other molasses-y flavors, but without it, then I just go, well, it sounds like something out of a steel drum to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not in an unpleasant way.
No.
Let me clarify.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't... you take.
So if there's brown sugar stuff, it's not coming off of this.
I don't think so. I don't think I get a big brown sugar flavor.
But there's a funkiness to it.
Oh, there is a little bit of funkiness to this stuff. You're right.
So I'm wondering if that's what I'm getting off of that.
So an element of funk.
Mm-hmm.
And the cassie is a big flavor thing. I mean, we could have mm-hmm. extra Prosecco. I might have not had enough yeah. Prosecco trying to do what I was doing.
The flavor I'm getting is the rum, but maybe I'm just not saying it right.
Oh, okay.
It's that rummy funkiness that I get at the finish.
Well, that's good then,
mm-hmm.
because that's what's supposed to be in there.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be on this podcast because my taste buds don't work so good.
Oh, no.
It tastes like chicken.
Chewing tobacco.
I'm going to have to say that I think that I prefer this over the Aperol Spritz.
The Nightshade.
I was going to guess that you would prefer the Nightshade to the Aperol Spritz.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
based on what?
I guess I'm a little obvious.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
only based on the fact that there's still that bitter element to the...
What do you mean by that?
I'm suggesting that you would rather not have bitter in your mouth.
Oh!
You'd rather have sweet in your mouth. You
sweet tongue devil.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
But I would like to now go down to Chin Chin. I'd like to get a $20 hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet it's probably $30 now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Easily.
and try the actual nightshade as created by Shion Fujita. All
right.
Or Fujita.
Christmas is coming.
The goose is getting fat.
Do we want to discuss our latest trip to the shameful tiki?
Whatever. Oh, yes, we should.
Yes, Fred was...
Fred's going to do stuff that isn't even on camera.
Fred,
a big face.
Fred wasn't there.
Stroking his neck.
Yeah.
Turning the other way. Turning the other cheek is what he's doing. He's taking the Christ method here.
That's right.
Yes. So what was
give unto Topsy.
So it wasn't last weekend, but the weekend before, right?
Yes, because today is a Tuesday, and just this past weekend. No. It was the weekend before.
Anyways, my wife Jessica won 4 free tickets to Yuck Yucks, the comedy club in Vancouver, and I took along the Dedricks.
That's all right. I had an event.
I know. You were busy. You were tied up. And
yeah, theater awards.
I think we enjoyed Yuck Yucks, didn't we, pretty much?
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah.
So you can't complain. And then,
if I had anything to say against the Yuck Yucks lineup that night, was everybody simulated sex on stage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really? No, it's filthy.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, it was filthy.
And not in a particularly great way.
Oh, no. Not elegant?
Yeah, that's what it lacked.
A certain elegance.
Yeah, no, it was just needless thrusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm more of a wordplay man myself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it was still, it was fun, right?
And then it was over at 9 p.m., and so we thought, well, the night is still young.
Mm-hmm.
Let's travel a few blocks over to the Shameful Tiki Room, where we had a half an hour to finish a cocktail, because we're very busy.
If you're going to go to the Shameful Tiki, make reservations.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. I guess you probably call them.
I think you call them. Yeah. That's what I've heard from people who've done that.
Oh, you can't do it on their website or anything?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
Which is what I would like.
Yeah, that's because we're shocked.
Otherwise, you have to,
I think the reason that I am confused, and I should have gotten over it, because I think you just called them, was when they first opened up, they didn't have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they first started to take reservations, they didn't have a phone. So you had to email them, and then they would get back to you, which seems like the worst.
Yeah.
The only thing that would be worse if you actually had to mail it.
Yeah.
And then have them write back and say, well, how does 7 o'clock sound? And then you wrote them a letter back. And they said, everybody has died. It was going to come to my gathering.
What do you remember the name of your drink?
I think it's called the Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
Somebody had enjoyed it. You had the Nui Nui.
I had the Nui Nui.
It's a good one. Good.
Yeah. No.
And, hard to fault the Nui Nui.
Jessica had a Chi Chi.
And Jennifer had a Hurricane.
A Hurricane.
Oh, the Hurricane. Yeah.
She was after a tart drink.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And she's sassy.
It was super tart.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
What made it tarty?
Partly what she was wearing.
I see. Oh, I hope she's not going to listen.
Oh. Nobody listens. I don't know what made it tart. It was something that was very sharp and fruity in it.
Yeah.
The Day of the Dead was the very first drink that I'd had the Shameful Tiki. I didn't remember it being as coconutty as it was.
Mm.
Right.
And so, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was. Did people have the mystery bowl or the volcano bowl while you were there?
Yeah, there was a large group there. They had the mystery bowl. Yeah, with the big, huge straws that they hand out.
Bowl. That's what they said, which bothered me.
Yeah.
Because they used to say, Mystery Bowl. It was so much faster.
Oh, really?
Now they dragged it out.
it's the whole time they're
like a funeral dirge.
As they walk from the bar to the table, it takes that long to say it.
Dave and I had a little cocktail adventure.
Yeah.
Much like when you guys go to Chin Chin and tell me about the nightshade.
We'll see how that plays out. But we're looking forward to that. Well, not that I booked it yet.
A few weeks ago, I also had a cocktail experience.
Unscheduled?
I knew I was going to do it.
Oh, okay. All right.
There is a magazine that we should probably like and or follow on Instagram called The Alchemist.
I love The Alchemist. I was just looking at it the other day.
Is that right? How long have you known about The Alchemist?
2.5 years?
Because my Uncle Jack had to tell me about it a month ago.
I should have... Yikes.
And you have been part of this podcast.
Yeah.
These past 50-odd episodes.
Yikes.
Yeah. So you knew all about this. I don't know what to make of this.
I have an old copy from 2 years ago.
Right.
And I keep looking at it and thinking, you know, this... We should.
I don't know where you get it.
I got it at the cocktail, Science of the Cocktails.
Oh, yeah, they'd probably have it.
It was in the bag or something.
Wondering if Uncle Jack got it at like the Odd Society or somebody like that.
Yeah, but I was thinking, I was looking at it, and it's about the size of a, it's about, I don't know, just a little bit bigger than a passport, maybe. So it's a little tiny book.
It's little, and it's square. It's square. Perfect for Instagramming.
maybe the size of a CD.
If
you remember what CDs looked like.
I think it's a little bigger than a CD.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with almost as big as a 45.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with you on that. But anyway, not very big, and it was $12 an issue.
Oh, I thought it was free.
Only if somebody gives it to you.
Oh.
This one said it was $12. And so I was thinking, I wonder how often this comes out. And I thought if it was like 4 times a year... Then I thought, well, then maybe if it's a subscription, you get it for half that. Maybe I could do that.
Well, we'll have to snoop a little bit.
Yeah, we will.
But we were talking about it, and so maybe we can see if they got an Instagram page there, Davey Doo.
They do.
And like them, and we'll like them back, and they'll say,
follow them on my Instagram page.
Oh, again, you didn't mention it. Boy, this guy's very secretive.
I've got, you know, there's a lot of
bartending. Do you work for the KGB?
The GRU. But the... I'm followed by a lot of bartenders, and they follow me. I don't know why. I put stuff up once.
That's all it takes. Well, see what we can do with the Alchemist.
Yeah, no, it seems like a great thing. There's a lot of ads, which to me are the most interesting part. If you like the ads of a magazine, the rest of it's just gravy.
Well, I should bring the new one out, because I don't remember it being full of ads.
But it's all for ads of stuff that you like.
No, that could be. So that doesn't appear like an ad?
Yeah.
Maybe that is.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this booze is great. Oh, this bar looks wonderful.
Right.
There's an article in the way. Get out of the way.
Details. Plot. Where's the car chase?
Yeah.
But anyway, they were talking about patios in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And it mentioned a place called D6.
I have not heard of D6.
Right. And my last name begins with a D, so I assume that it has...
My first name begins with a D.
Exactly. And there is a D in Fred.
Where?
Right at the very end.
That's right.
Just a second.
It's buried. Buried in the middle.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, see? There you go. And so I checked it out. Now, if anybody knows anything about Vancouver...
Or you.
Yeah, but mostly about Vancouver for this sentence... But thank you for gilding the lily or whatever it's called. False Creek after Expo 86 was developed with lots of bluey green turquoise buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of them.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that I think somebody in Dubai or somewhere in the Emirates there recreated like a False Creek area because they just thought it looked so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They piped in water and they put up a bunch of high rises.
They realized, we're in a desert. That's not gonna really going to work.
That's right. And then they realized
too late.
Everybody's got $1 billion. And they smiled slightly to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, somebody has built a brand new building in the last couple of years, which is brown. Have you seen this?
No.
If you're crossing the Cambie Street Bridge, right next door to BC Place Stadium, there is a brown building.
I think it's called that. The brown
building. The brown building.
I'm always watching. I got my eyes on the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just above the road.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that.
What's in the Brown Building? Do we know?
Two different hotels and a casino.
Two different hotels?
That's the one attached to BC Place.
That's right. It's called The Park.
Yeah. Oh. It's got like six restaurants.
Yep.
And other stuff.
Yes.
Apparently a bar or two.
It's got a whiskey bar.
What?
That's a tea lounge in the day and turns into a whiskey bar at night. But you can get whiskey there all day long.
This is the guy that left us the message on Instagram. He should go there.
Yes.
And copy everything they do.
He should.
And do it down at the pier.
Yeah, no, it's got a, there's a Chinese sort of street food kind of a thing. There was a high-end Chinese restaurant that just shut down. And it was beautiful. But high-end,
it just opened.
Well, it didn't just open. It's actually been there for a year. This whole thing has been open for a year.
That's pretty new.
Well, that is pretty new. You're right. But high-end Chinese is tricky, I find, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Especially in a city like Vancouver, which is full of low-end Chinese. It's really good.
Yeah.
And so when someone says, do you want a smashed-up duck for $45? You go, no, I don't.
Yeah. I can get a smashed-up duck for $25.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I see them in the window. And I go to Chinatown. I can get them for way less than that.
Exactly. The reason I say smashed-up duck is quite often they do the cleaver to it, right? You'll do a barbecue duck, right. It's all full of splintery bones.
Yeah, that's right. It's not deboned. It's the bones included, yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, there's a steak restaurant, and there's a bunch of restaurants. And
waiting for the punchline.
Bars and lounges. There is a lineup to get punch. He's waiting for the punchline. But one end of the development is the Marriott Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle is the casino has moved in there from the Plaza of Nations.
Right.
And at the other end is a boutique hotel called the Douglas.
Okay.
With a sort of a nod to the Douglas fir, to all of the trees we tore down to make Vancouver.
I've got a good feeling about how this story is going.
And it has a patio called D6.
Oh! Yes,
the penny dropped.
All right.
And so it's on the sixth floor of the Douglas.
Yeah.
Half of it is inside, half of it is outside. And the outside part is very nice. Mm-hmm. There, I must admit, because I'm getting a little older.
Sorry. What the hell?
Well, what I mean by is that you could see that on certain days and times, there could be a douchey club element.
Infiltrate
the place.
Yeah.
But that's just because I'm not that age anymore.
Well, it's because you're not a douchey club guy.
That's right.
It's not an age thing. Just, if you're not a douche.
Well, no, but I'm sort of lumping anybody that has a job in their 20s and wears a suit also into that sort of...
Well, they are.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then there we go. So I was fair. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that happen, but there was the element where you could go, So at night it goes... and everything's blue vodka drinks.
Yeah.
But they are making an effort at craft cocktails. I had a Douglas Fir, which has a Yaletown gin in it, but it has a special Douglas Fir infusion done to it.
I just saw that somewhere.
Mm. I thought Blintness had a Douglas Fir drink.
They might too. I don't think, because you can actually buy a Douglas Fir gin, but that's what that was one of their signature ones.
Hmm.
And the other one was called the Gin and Smoke.
Uh-oh.
Mm.
And it was pretty good, too. It had a smoked element to it.
Interesting. That was, I was speaking about one of our listeners earlier.
You mean our one listener?
Our one listener, Kate.
Kate! Hello, Kate!
Kate in Alberta.
Hello, Kate in Alberta. And go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
What do you think about the Mulroney Conservatives? Can they pull out a win in this tough economic climate? Has he been too soft on Quebec? Is Meech Lake going to bring the country down?
Oh my God, we traveled back in time to 1988.
Anyway, she was at a bar there, and they have barrels, I guess empty whiskey barrels, and they light the tops of them on fire and to get smoke inside their drinks. So she was saying that we need to step it up.
Well...
Lighting barrels on fire in my house.
I said we had to check our insurance policy.
That's right. Maybe not in your house.
Yeah, we could get a barrel.
Against your house.
We could have,
it's against strata rules. I'm sorry.
We could get a... It's out on the sidewalk. We're okay?
No. As long as it's above the city sidewalk.
City Langley. I think the fire ban is over.
It's so the township here.
Yeah.
They're loosey-goosey.
Yeah. They don't let anything go.
Yeah. Oh, really? So what, like the whole barrel head is...
I guess it's the barrel head.
They just turn the glasses upside down
on
it?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. She didn't send pictures. It was really just a taunt. But I think I need some background on this.
Yes.
Yeah, and a barrel.
Yeah.
Well, they're always selling them.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we should get one.
Right, I saw a barrel for sale. Daryl's barrels.
Daryl's barrels?
I was having a big Cyril. I try to remember who the hell it was. Doesn't matter. But we have so many wineries and what have you around. Mm-hmm. There's always barrels for sale. Mm-hmm. And they're cheap when they're not cheap. You know what I mean? Yep. Say, hey, it's only $125. You go, oh.
Now I can buy a nice bottle of whiskey for $125.
That's right. And they say, well, it would actually be $800. You go, well, it's a great sale, but that doesn't... Now I need it for like a
$10. $10.
So that was my little cocktail experience. Jennifer and I had gone down there. And we also went to another place that had a happy hour stuff, and it was fine. But we really went to the patio at D6.
Wow, we didn't do anything except play, you know, made some drinks at home.
Well, that's probably a better idea, because you find yourself two drinks in, and there you are on the shores of False Creek, thinking, do we eat here now?
Yeah, well, do we go? I think that's the, you really, you do.
We did not.
Oh, good for you.
We had some buffalo cauliflower.
Yeah, and then you buggered off.
Head home and had pasta.
Perfect.
Pasta?
No, Americans say pasta. We say pasta.
I had postum.
Yeah.
Postum. That's all the British say.
Postum. It's good for you.
Oh, yeah. Thick.
Yeah. What did we
so that was our cocktail adventure.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. What do we do? I have to come up with something. Because I'm out of my maraschino. Not my maraschino. My... Yeah. Hmm. Oh, Dave's saying it's time to wrap it up.
I'm going
to
edit in some silence here.
Put the 10 seconds in, we finally...
Yeah, my sugar syrup. But not the... Oh, anyway, whatever.
It's far too gone by now.
I know, that's the
fun. You got to get this in at the beginning. So you've had any drinks.
The secret is that we had the two little separate drinks.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what's given this episode the kiss of class.
That's right. But anyway, yeah, so I had to... So I'll never remember the drink. But yeah, I had to make something up with... It's typical. You'd say, well, what have I got?
Mm-hmm.
And what can I make out of it? So
I used to do that. Yeah. And I want to be that guy.
Mm.
I don't want to... Now I say, what have I got? And that I can only add ice to.
Yep.
And then I just drink that straight
with ice. Oh, well, there's that too. But I've got a... Fortunately, I've got some pineapple juice still open in the fridge.
See?
We've got some lemons, a little bit of lime. So, I mean, you can pretty much make homeless anything. But
homeless anything?
Yeah.
No! You're
I can
cruel.
Well, they'll drink anything.
Here's the new Thomas Edison right here.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Miserable.
But yeah, this week we didn't go out anywhere. We just had stuff we made at home, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
We do all right. We get by.
Yeah, and I used to get by. But as I say, now I get home and I'm like, nope. Like, the dishes are in the sink. The sink's just full of dishes, right? So you know there's a knife at the bottom. And you're like, well, I'm not going to be cutting any fruit.
That's why I buy extra knives.
Right. Then I go to look for the shaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's probably in the sink somewhere.
I've got three shakers.
Yeah. I have multiple shakers, but I'm not going into the other room.
Well, I can't help you with that one.
Because it's covered in dust?
It's covered in dust. I gotta push the Christmas lights out of the way.
And the tree.
It's September.
Oh.
What is it? 18th today. Mm-hmm. But there are some Christmas lights in the way.
Yeah.
And
time to put them up.
Well, they're up.
What?
They're hanging on the thing where the shaker might be.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Very nice when they're lit. And so then I just look at the bottle of Bell's Scotch there that's on the counter, and I go, well, that's good.
Okay. You got to make a whiskey sour.
Yeah, but the knife's at the bottom of the sink.
I'm going to get you a second knife for Christmas.
I have several knives.
I know, but they're at the bottom
of the
drawer.
They're all at the bottom of the sink.
Oh, the bottom of the sink.
They're not in the drawer at all.
Oh, no. No?
They never get into the drawer.
Oh.
They go from the sink.
You don't have a dishwasher?
Sometimes they're in the dishwasher.
No.
But when the dishwasher's full, which it usually is, everything goes in the sink.
That's right. The dishwasher gets full, but it doesn't get run.
Mm.
No.
Or it gets run three times in a row. Because did you run the dishwasher?
I don't know.
Is it clean or dirty? I don't know.
It's a disastrous situation. But as long as that one bottle is on the counter.
Mm. So once that's gone.
You go get another one.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's sort of killed the mood.
Yeah.
So what, maybe that'll be my New Year's resolution right here at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I'm going to make more cocktails at home again and not just a, you know, a stress drink. Straight alcohol.
Yeah, well, you can make something for Jen. Jen likes the odd cocktail.
Yeah, she only wants to drink wine.
Really?
Yeah.
Has she had a corpse reviver?
Probably.
Oh, okay.
But that's a lot of work. I got to get the knife out of the thing. I'm not making two drinks.
It's a little... Well, it's just as much effort. It's just the same. You get the big shaker. Bloop, 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 bloop. You can make two drinks in one shaker. I think you could do it.
Well,
you can make it work.
Okay.
Get it to her early. Like, as soon as she gets in the door.
Mm.
She's got no time. So it's in her hand. Bang.
She you has tell to her drink. That they've passed a tariff on wine.
Yeah.
It's too expensive now. She's going to have to change her.
We've had to raise our prices, and it's a whole disaster. All you can afford is cocktails now.
She's happy, unfortunately, cocktail-wise, to say, can I mix this Pepsi with this gin and just have that?
Get in fast. That's why you got to get in. You give her a drink. It's in her hand.
Right.
It's too late. You can't do anything about
She's always home before I am. Or if I'm home before she is, I've already been into my fourth bottle on the counter drink.
We're going to have to talk afterwards.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to ask, because I keep forgetting, and since we're recording it, did you go to the car show this year, or did you not go to the car show this year?
I went to the car show.
Oh, okay. How was
the show was there? On?
Which?
The car show was
the,
on?
The cruise in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the cruise in, right. I thought you meant... The car show.
New car show. No.
No.
Cruising was on. It was great. Didn't rain. Walked around, looked at a bunch of stuff.
Right.
There was Mrs. Buswood there trying to flog her accounting business.
Did we mention the death of Mike Buswood?
No, because people might not know.
No, he might not know. But, I mean, we could still mention it. And then they're brought into our world.
Yeah. Mike Buswood was a fine man.
All of our Mikes are gone.
All our Mikes, yeah. They were good fellas.
And our Olivers.
Yeah. We didn't have any, but we still don't.
Yeah. So if you're looking to join a group, and you're Mike or Oliver.
Yeah, we're looking for Mikes or Olivers at this point.
Yeah. But yes, we lost another Mike.
Yep, that was too bad.
Yeah. It was too bad.
Oh, yikes.
No, he was a big Long Island iced tea drinker.
That's right.
Yeah, good point.
And so when he had first passed, it was a little too soon, in that I thought we should do a Mike Buswood Long Island iced tea thing. But the Long Island iced tea, I believe, has vodka in it, which precludes its inclusion in the show.
Unless we make it with gin.
Yes.
Well, actually, it already has gin in it, doesn't it?
It does. It's got a bit of...
It's got everything. Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, that does play into my... Because I've been, as you know, behind the scenes, trying to get the Cosmopolitan on the show for years.
I thought you were our publicist behind the scenes. Well, this is what you've been wasting your time with?
Yes.
This is why Ryan Reynolds hasn't been a guest yet.
That's right. I've been writing letters trying to get the Cosmopolitan. Or we don't have a sponsor. Aviation Gin.
Aviation Gin could easily sponsor this show.
Mm-hmm. If I could just... We should buy some of their gin.
I think we will. I think we're going to make a plea. Ryan Reynolds must be in Vancouver all the time.
I'm sure. He's not always working.
No, and he's a fun guy. What could be funner than coming out to Langley and hanging out with four goofballs?
Yeah.
They're not crazy.
No. We've had Seth Rogen on. Or we could tell him that.
That's right. And then when we reveal to him that we haven't, he's like, I can get Seth Rogen here like that.
Yeah.
We'll have Eric McCormick.
Yeah.
We'll have Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Ooh. We'll have Pamela Anderson.
Yep. All your BC celebrities will be here.
Michael J. Fox.
Now, hey, I don't know about Pamela Anderson.
Why not?
What?
It's not the meat thing.
Huh?
Well, Dave's got a meat thing.
Oh, that's true. I don't like Dave either.
Are you serving meat in these cocktails?
Yeah, that's my idea.
Found a cocktail recipe that involves just a hint of fried brains. Are you guys in or out?
I thought we already had fried brains. That's why we're doing a podcast.
Oh, literally.
No.
It's a zombie, but it's just a tiny tincture. No.
But what kind of animal?
Probably a cow.
Probably a cow?
Can't you get mad cow's disease?
From the brains?
Yeah.
No.
Only from an English cow. Most Canadian cows are just fine.
Well, not when you take a piece of their brain.
Well.
They're not so fine.
Not as good afterwards.
Ask Topsy the elephant.
It's a tincture. That's not like there's chunks of brain. It's a tincture. It's like when you have beef broth
And is it just for show?
I think if it was a zombie, it wouldn't be funny to put a little bit of brain in it.
Couldn't we just have oxtail soup instead?
Yes, if by the tail you mean brains.
Ew.
All right, well, we'll put that on the back burner.
Sure, but the Cosmo and the Long Island iced tea.
All right, so we're what? We might break tradition with the vodka?
Well, sure.
Who made the tradition? I don't recall there being
The Moscow Mule.
It was me.
You said no vodka
on
the show?
You know, the cocktail sort of got screwy after Prohibition, and vodka was the first thing to come out after Prohibition because the whiskey takes years to age.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just kept, well, we got vodka. We can make vodka in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So vodka sort of ruined cocktails for about 40 years.
Yeah. Thanks, Russia.
Thanks for nothing.
Thanks for nothing.
But, you know, that being said, I don't think it should be a hard and fast rule. I mean, it's not a traditional drink because vodka didn't really exist outside of Eastern Europe before Prohibition.
Right.
Because there's no need for it.
There was no need for it.
But
although, well, yeah. I mean, basically gin is vodka, but it's been upped with flavoring.
Yes.
Right?
Which is basically what Grey Goose is. It's sort of like a really bad gin.
Oh, why? Do they have a little bit of herbal stuff in Grey Goose?
They've got some flavors, because they have to try and make it taste different. So
I've got a bottle of Grey Goose at home, and I refuse to open it!
I also have a bottle of Grey Goose at home, and I have refused to open it.
I mean, I will open it.
Oh, sure. No, I'm going to open it.
Yeah.
Because I like a vodka martini, as you know.
Right. But if I open mine and Jennifer finds out it's open,
yeah,
I'm going to fill it full of Pepsi, and then my bottle will be gone in a week, and I'll never get a sniff of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, just keep it at work or in your car.
Now you're talking. Now you are talking.
Yeah, see, I got thinking stuff going on upstairs.
When I thought of the Mike Buswood tribute episode, though, mm-hmm, I thought of Long Island, because I think there's different kind of Long Islands.
Oh, a couple of Long Islands? Okay, well, I'm up for that. Sure.
Yeah, except that we have to break the taboo.
We're rule breakers here at the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Maybe next time I take a break, you guys do vodka.
Rebels.
I don't feel comfortable doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you just sit on the couch and observe.
I think you will after the first one.
Well, we'll discuss it at our next production meeting.
All right.
Come to a final decision.
In the meantime, it would be great if we could get Ryan Reynolds on here.
All right. Well,
if you're listening,
I've got a couple more letters to write about the Cosmopolitan, and then after that, I'll get back onto the publicity side.
Now, I will say this about the Cosmopolitan: it is an iconic drink that happens to include vodka, so that's okay.
All right.
I'm going to give a pass on the Cosmopolitan. It's when I see a new drink that calls for absolute citron or absolute chocolate or absolute something. And I'm like, don't do that.
It's just lazy.
It's just, like Dave Coyne says, it's just lazy.
I said that.
But that's how lazy he is.
I get you to say, I think it, but I don't want to move my jaw muscles. So I get you to move my telepathy.
Yeah, he couldn't.
My direct current goes right into his brain.
Yes, he DC'd you.
I wonder why I said that.
And there's some more of that silence that we were talking about.
I was going to give somebody else a chance to talk, but nobody else stepped in.
So. Well, it's because we were all a little bit upset.
And drunk.
No, nobody's drunk.
No, that would be wrong. Sorry. I was just congested.
More silence, please.
Yep. All right.
So now I have another little book.
Oh.
That has cocktails in it.
Oh, Dave's got to catch a flight.
I'd like to eat dinner tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Dave has to still cook food. It's coming up on 7:30 here, our time, locally here.
Okay, quickly. What is it? You got a new
book? A girl at work, Holly, lent me a little book of Jamaican cocktails, which is just basically some more of our tiki stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're more modern drinks by bartenders in the Caribbean.
Oh.
And some of them are actually in the Caribbean. So we can compare the
it's
two.
Crossover.
Yeah. Also,
are you going to bring it out to the next show?
I could.
Or?
I could choose two from it.
Sure you
could. And we could do that in the next show.
Yes, we could.
Unless we wanted to do a tribute to Mike Buswood.
I think I'll be away for the next one.
Oh. Where are you going?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about Hawaii earlier in the episode. And you didn't say anything about you going to Hawaii.
Well, I was waiting for the right moment.
It's not in the South Pacific.
Oh,
to the North Pacific.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. I like the North Pacific better because that's where I'm from.
Oh, yeah.
It's where I am.
And it's not tropical. It's subtropical.
Subtropical.
Right. Which is the way I like it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sub Rosa.
Sub Rosa.
Subtropical. Keeps very quiet.
And to me, what does subtropical mean? See, subtropical to me, because of the up and down of it, seems like it should be below the equator because it's subtropical. Yeah. But it must go either
way. It depends on which way you're looking at the Earth.
Is it a Capricorn Cancer kind of a thing? Tropics?
I'm not big on
Aquarius?
The astrology.
Astrology?
Yeah, yeah, no, not really, no. But it rarely gets above 90 degrees. It's usually between about 75 and 85. It's sort of in that zone.
The sweet zone.
The sweet zone.
So you're going to Maui.
I'm going to Maui because it's easy.
They're all easy.
Well, yeah, you just get on the plane. They dump you off when you get there.
I was in Maui in spring.
There you go. You might have been.
Yeah, I was. I remember now. And I will not be going back.
No, you've had enough of Maui.
Too busy. Too busy.
Too busy.
So I'm just coming like Oahu now. You get your bumper to bumper traffic.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to that. It's just like going to work. I'm. we're staying on the beach side of the road, so we're just going to walk out and find an umbrella, stay under it until the sun goes down. That's the plan, anyway.
That's very nice.
But yeah, I'm going to look for some drinks. But yeah, so it's 2 weeks.
The Manukai, actually, which is where you're going to be staying. See, now I've given myself away. I know full well that you're going to Hawaii. And like 3 minutes ago, I made it sound like, what?
I thought I mentioned it earlier today.
Yeah, but not online.
Not on air.
This, on the
radio hot dog machine.
But the Manukai was actually where that happy hour, my Thai was, where there was 30 of them sitting there in the shade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flies buzzing around them, probably.
The hockey game was on because it's full of Canadians. It was a very weird environment. But, you know, it's cheap.
Sure. Well, that's what we're going to take.
You going to snorkel?
Yeah.
Dave will give you snorkel equipment.
I've got a snorkel.
All right.
You don't have to rent it from Snorkel Bob's.
Okay, because I was going to go to Snorkel Bob's.
No. Go to Snorkel Dave's.
All right. Thanks, Snorkel Dave.
The neat thing about Dave's snorkel equipment as it's been in Dave's mouth and my mouth.
No. Our snorkel equipment doesn't have... We don't have a mouth snorkel. It's full mask, and the snorkel is up here, attached to the mask.
Oh, I had your previous snorkel gear.
Yeah.
My mouth hasn't been on this other snorkel
gear. No. Well, it might have been. It's just all over. Just licking it.
I go to stores and do that.
But when you go to Maui, and you do go to a bar...
I will.
You're going to be a gentleman of elegant leisure.
Oh, you know it.
Because he's going to get...
I think we're wrapping the show up.
I think so, because I'm getting awfully damn hungry.
Keep going.
And you're going to reward the person who brings you that fine drink. It's not Laura.
No.
No, it'll be a general... Your server, your bartender, it's gonna waitress,
be
waiter.
I'm gonna sit right at the bar. Yeah, I'm going to reward my bartender, my waiter, my serve person...
And you're going to be our brand ambassador.
Yes.
And you are going to do what?
I am going to tip big.
Sometimes you can see right through it, and sometimes you can't. Yeah. Like right now, I can't see through it.
That's a good sign.
Oh, but when I can see through it...
That's a bad sign.
Oh, okay.